So it's fresh in our minds, and for the benefit of those who may listen in later online, here again is The Summer Day by contemporary American poet Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who has eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? As poems go, this isn't Chaucer. It's pretty straightforward. Yet there's a lot going on. And I want to begin our exploration with a pithy statement by another American writer, Elwin Brooks White, better known as E.B. White. I didn't realize before checking his biography that in addition to penning such children's classics as Stuart Little and Charlotte's Web, he also co-authored with William Strunk Jr. the famous English language style guide, The Elements of Style. Strunk and White is E.B. White. And in a 1969 New York Times interview, E.B. White said, "Every morning I awake torn between a desire to save the world and an inclination to savor it. This makes it hard to plan the day." Some of you have likely heard this, and there's a reason it's well known, because it speaks clearly to a universal human dilemma. Do we volunteer at the food pantry or watch that next Netflix show? Do we attend the resistance march or just take a walk? Do we go to the meeting of our congregation's social and environmental justice team or the Dodger game? The answer is, yes. Meaning not that we can do everything we'd like to all the time, but that we find a healthy balance. But, begs the question, what is that balance? Where do we start? E.B. White had an opinion. Here's his quote again, this time with how he continued. "Every morning I awake, torn between a desire to save the world and an inclination to savor it. This makes it hard to plan the day. But if we forget to savor the world, what possible reason do we have for saving it? In a way, the savoring must come first." In a way, the savoring must come first. Which brings us back to Mary Oliver. It's been said that the poet's job is to pay attention. And in savoring the world by being deeply present, by taking the time to pay intense attention to the present moment, she truly recognizes the miracle of a grasshopper. This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. And this act of presence, this quality of attention, becomes a sacrament of savoring, a sacred moment of realization that just to be alive in this world is an unfathomable blessing. It causes her to utter, "I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done?" She talks of being idle, but it's anything but an empty idleness. It's a recognition of kinship with all of life. And savoring the world in such depth is life-altering, even redemptive. If anybody should be able to speak about the other pole with authority, that of saving the world, it should be Jesuit priest Gregory Boyle. Father Boyle is the founder and executive director of Homeboy Industries, the world's largest gang rehab program. Headquartered in L.A., Homeboy Industries has transformed the lives of thousands of former Los Angeles gang members. Yet Boyle says this, "We've become focused on peace, justice, and equality, when the truth is, none of these things can happen unless there's some undergirding sense that we belong to each other, that we're connected. But the good news is, if we focus on kinship, the byproduct of that effort is peace, justice, and equality. Our choice is always the same. Save the world or savor it. And I vote for savoring it. And if you savor the world, somehow, go figure, it's getting saved." That's Father Boyle. So Mary Oliver strolls the open fields and nourishes our souls by reporting her transformative observations. And Boyle transforms lives in the inner city. Both have found their life purpose, their soul work. The work that, while demanding at times, fills us with the joy of savoring and serving. Work that ultimately saves. And it doesn't just save others. Our soul work saves us. Here's another poem, one I first shared a couple years ago. It's by Miguel de Unamuno and as translated by Robert Bly. "Throw yourself like seed. Shake off this sadness and recover your spirit. Sluggish, you will never see the wheel of fate that brushes your heel as it turns going by. The person who wants to live is the person in whom life is abundant. Now you are only giving food to that final pain, which is slowly winding you in the nets of death. But to live is to work, and the only thing which lasts is the work. Start then, turn to the work. Throw yourself like seed as you walk and into your own field. Don't turn your face, for that would be to turn it to death. And do not let the past weigh down your motions. Leave what's alive in the furrow, what's dead in yourself. For life does not move in the same way as a group of clouds. From your work, you will be able one day to gather yourself. From your work, you will be able one day to gather yourself." Our soul work might or might not be our job. We need a job to survive. Hopefully they go together to some degree. But nonetheless, it is through giving our deepest gifts that we come alive. That's different than staying alive. And like Oliver and Father Boyle, it will take different forms in different people. Throw yourself like seed as you walk and into your own field. Mary Oliver is not cut out for the inner city, and Father Boyle might not do so well in the open fields. And after strolling about in a literal field, Mary Oliver beautifully and poignantly adds another dimension to our considerations today. "Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon?" She brings in a gentle yet insistent reminder of our mortality. That we don't have forever on this earthly plane. That savoring the world and the serving and saving that springs from it does not begin tomorrow nor next week. It begins and always happens right now. Of course, we should set our sights and map our goals. But realizing the future that we desire happens by stringing together a series of nows. And after tenderly prodding us with this fact of our mortality, Oliver asks the ultimate question. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? In your heart of hearts, how do you answer this? At the end of your days, what is it that you most want to have done? Answering this question from the inmost resources of your heart and soul is a profound act of faith and courage. And it's a crucial step in spiritual awakening. And if you do it with courage and integrity and tenacity, your life will be forever changed for the better. And so will those all around you. And this personal awakening ties in with a collective one. Because all over the world, people are awakening to a far more holistic and inclusive consciousness than currently governs. And they are demanding and designing and implementing better ways of doing things based on an evolving vision of sustainable living for all of our interdependent world. As I wrote about in our June newsletter, they are creating a new cultural paradigm, the overall aim of which is to create an environmentally sound, socially just, and spiritual fulfilling world. Nothing less. I'll refer to this more next week, and the week after that, congregational member Dr. Cindy Herman, who among other things is an accomplished leadership coach, will guide us in exploring how your life purpose can become an integral part of building this new global civilization. The principles, practices, and habits, and fruits of which are environmentally sound, socially just, and spiritually fulfilling. Of course, the current power structures will try to resist the future, and we see that happening everywhere. So the transformation will have challenges. As another poet, M.C. Richards, put it, let no one think that the birth of humanity, and that's really what we're talking about here now, the birth of one humanity. Let no one think that the birth of humanity is to be felt without terror. The transformations that await us will cost everything in the way of courage and sacrifice. Let no one be deluded that a knowledge of the path can substitute for putting one foot in front of the other. But there's a beloved song in our paperback hymnal, Singing the Journey, based on a Rumi poem. And the original poem says, come, come, whoever you are, even if you have broken your vow 1,000 times, come, yet again, come. I personally keep this in mind often because as I urge you to consider the question, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I'm doing the same. And I know that it sometimes hurts to take on and grow our soul work. We might feel unworthy or incapable or unsure or frightened or all those kind of things that can crop up. And in one way or another, because of this, we may have broken our vow to do it 1,000 times. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Come to it again and yet again. As Andra Day sings, I'll rise up, rise like the day. I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I will rise 1,000 times again. And we'll rise up. Rise like the waves, we'll rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up and we'll do it 1,000 times again. Amen and blessed be.